Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Are you ready for the best real estate investing advice ever? Join Joe Fairless and today's successful real estate professional as they share it with you. Let's go.
A quick word from our sponsor, The Door Devil. Homeowners spend hundreds on alarm systems each year, but rarely reinforce the weakest point on the home, the doors. Bad guys know this, and that's why kick-ins are so common. Simply adding Door Devils virtually eliminates the home security gap. Sleep better tonight. Reinforce your doors. Visit DoorDevil.com and enter Best Ever to get an exclusive 20% discount on your purchase.
Hello, Best Ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless, and I'm here with today's guest, Joe Fairless. It's a little bit different today because today is the 50th episode that I've done with the Best Ever Show, and I'm so grateful to have you as a Best Ever listener, and I wanted to celebrate today's episode with five tips from multifamily investors who have closed on deals, and looking back on the deal, they said, you know what? I would do this differently if I could do it over again. Because I think that's an incredible way to learn how you can structure your deal the best when you do yours, your next one. That's at least how I learn. I learn from other people's mistakes and other people's achievements. And quite frankly, I learn perhaps more from the mistakes as I do from the achievements. So let's get into top five things that multifamily investors who I've spoken to have told me they would do differently. Number one, ask for the bank statements from the seller so that you can see when the residents are actually paying the rent. It's one thing to have a rent roll that is 95% occupied, and it's another thing to have a rent roll that is 95% occupied with 20% of the people actually paying on time. That has significant impact on how you pay your vendors, assuming that the remaining percent actually pay you. And if they don't pay you, then that's obviously a different story where you're going to have to do a lot of tenant turnover because they're not paying and the seller has still has them on the rent roll to artificially inflate the rent roll, make it look better. They sneak that by you. But that's not going to be stuck by you, because you're going to look at the bank statements from the seller. And when you receive them, you'll see the day that cash is deposited in the bank, and you'll know if they're paying on time, if they're paying late, or if they're not paying at all. Number two, ask an insurance agent if any mandatory changes need to be made in order to continue coverage. You should get an insurance inspection prior to closing, because there have been multiple times with multiple investors that I've spoken to who have said that they closed on a property, their inspectors said everything checked out fine, but the insurance company asked them to make improvements in order to maintain the insurance policy. And that can be a large chunk of change after the fact if you're not planning for it. So it's incredibly important to have an insurance contact you can speak to, and have them look at the property as well whenever you're looking to purchase it during the due diligence stage, and identify anything from electrical issues to washer dryer connections that maybe need to be updated, to fire extinguishers that aren't to code, signage in the pool area if you have a pool, all sorts of things that your regular inspection team might not catch, but the insurance company will, and it's better to have them catch it whenever you can still negotiate concessions from the seller than after the fact, whenever you're going to have to pay out of pocket for the changes that are needed to be made. Number three, check police reports of the property prior to closing. Really important to know who you're renting to, who's already at the property, what type of behavior they have, and what the tenant profile consists of. If you've got some people who are being mischievous, or if you've got some good Samaritans, or any mixture of the above. Number four, just because you have money doesn't mean you have to spend it whenever you're raising money. What I mean by that is, I've spoken to one investor in particular who had money in his bank account. He was also raising money for his deal, and he happened to come up short the exact amount that he had in his bank account, so he put that money from his bank account into the deal. Well, I think that's more than just a coincidence. I think subconsciously he knew that he had that money that he could put into the deal, and he stopped short of the finish line. And by no means is this trivializing his efforts, because it was an incredible effort to make the deal happen and to raise all the money that he raised for his first deal. But he could have kept going further, and he could have raised the remaining amount. And he mentioned this to me whenever I was talking about his first deal. He said, you know what? Just because I had the money, I felt like I could stop at raising money and put in my money to cover the difference. So whenever you're raising money, pretend that you don't have any money. And if you don't have any money, then you don't have to go through the pretend exercise. Just know what reality is. And raise the money that you need to raise, and keep the money in your bank account that's yours. And bring the value to the table of your experience and the team around you and their successful track record, and the opportunity to investors that they wouldn't have anywhere else because of the unique business model that you're implementing with this property, the market conditions, the value add play, whatever it is, and you're going to be able to raise money without spending the money that you have in your bank account. Number five, reread every single contract twice. For example, the investor who mentioned this has a property management company who he has a contract with, and he didn't see in the contract that the management company was actually getting late fees whenever residents were paying late. So anytime a resident pays after the fifth, the property management company is getting the late fee and not the investor. In my mind, that's like mind-boggling why that would be the case, because it gives no incentive for the management company to have a resident in there who's paying on time. And in fact, it benefits the property management company to have a resident in the property who's not paying on time, because then the property management company makes more money. But the owner and the investor doesn't benefit because their bills are being paid late. Their mortgage payment is a stressful moment at the beginning of the month because they're having residents who are paying late and they're not getting any compensation for that. So you'll want to reread the contracts twice and make sure that everything has a mutually beneficial purpose so that you're both going in the same direction together. And that's it. Thank you so much for listening. This podcast is now one of the top investing podcasts in all of iTunes, and it's because of you. And I am so grateful and appreciative of that. If you'd like to help me out, I would love if you could write some sort of review in iTunes. That always helps out. And we'll get into episode 51 tomorrow. And we've got an excellent best ever guest for you. So get excited, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Hey, you best ever listener. Do you want more? Then head to joefairless.com, where there are tons of free videos, templates, and content to help you get deals done. And if you want Joe to personally help you reach your goals, then go to the Work with Joe tab on joefairless.com and apply to, well, Work with Joe.